asks, what's your story, Guns? Were you a new age baby like most of us before the Holy Spirit knocked you over the head with the truth? And I'll say to the audience too, Guns actually did give his entire testimony the last time he was on, which I think it's episode 27 or 28. If you just search Guns, Shimura, Josh Peck, Age of Deceit 2, I'm sure it'll come up. It was an earlier sharpening episode, another good reason for people to subscribe. But anyway, what's your story, Guns?
I was born in an egg, an alien egg, and no. I mean, I wasn't exactly a New Age baby. I grew up more of a atheistic, agnostic, Buddhist. My parents were from Japan, so they're not exactly Buddhist either. Very ambiguous, really. But more of a sort of atheistic or agnostic bent. And that's kind of my background. I don't want to get into everything because, like you said, I think I go into that on the first sharpening with you. But also, if you go to the Joyspiracy Theory with Basil, I go through my whole testimony there. And also, I think Extraordinary Intelligence with Natalina. I think on her episode, one of her early episodes, I go through it. So, I refer Regina to those resources for the full thing. But in terms of the Holy Spirit knocking me over the head with truth, I would say there have been different beatings from the Holy Spirit, different levels, different time periods of life. The first one, the main one, was my wife who beat me over the head with it, and that led me to Christ. But then I think there was a purging time of kind of going back to worldly things that I had been involved with and trying to parse out how everything works at the same time and trying to understand from a biblical perspective what's going on with topics I was interested in, like aliens, UFOs, whatever, all these different topics. And not receiving the kind of edification from the church I was at, which caused me to go on YouTube, which caused me to find all these New Age videos of people talking about Jesus was just a space commander, Sananda. And then on Sunday, I would go, and Jesus is this loving, savior, figure. So there was an early period where I was very confused about, like, wait a minute, so who's telling the truth here? Is it church? Or is it these New Age guys who seem to be addressing my questions about conspiracies and the Illuminati and all these different things, yet their sort of understanding of Jesus or who they say Jesus is completely different from what I'm hearing on Sundays. And in my heart of hearts, I believe the Jesus from Sunday was more true. But at the same time, I thought, well, these other areas with conspiracy and all this stuff, these New Agers seem to know what they're talking about with this stuff. And my church doesn't, so it was a balancing act in trying to find that sort of convergence point. And it was really the work of people. I think it was Ellie Marzulli that I've talked about. I was listening to Coast to Coast. I was a big Coast to Coast listener. Obviously, if you're into this stuff, you listen to Coast to Coast. And I just remember listening to him, and he was one of the first guys to really provide for me that biblical foundation. And he did it in a really interesting way. His whole thing with, I know you know Josh, and I'm sure the audience is familiar with him. And you may not agree with everything he says, which is fine. But he was really into, when I listened to that interview with George Norrie, he was talking about Yeshua and the guidebook to the supernatural and all this stuff. And that really kind of, oh, okay, so there is an actual biblical perspective that's grounded. It's interesting because, I had come across someone like Steve Quayle prior to that. And I remember thinking, like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about, but I feel like the world's going to end tomorrow listening to him. That's not anything against Steve Quayle. He's just, the way he speaks is very charismatic, and you start getting drawn in. But then I sensed, like, oh my gosh, it's too intense. Like, I don't know what's going on anymore. Like, should I get a bunker? Like, what should I do? I felt really paranoid. And so I needed to stay away from that paranoia aspect of someone like Quayle at the time, although I appreciate his work, I have his books and everything else. But so yeah, it's been, you know, it's been different levels and different phases of the Holy Spirit truth stick knocking me over the head. So I don't know if that answers Regina's question.
Yeah, I'm sure it does, and I have similar aspects in my own testimony as well, so I can definitely relate. Patrick asks, when is your music DVD? Are you producing a music DVD?
In theory, I have ongoing music projects that I've been working on. I've been working on an EP with Sam Swanson over at he is at God's Property Media, I think it is now. And, you know, we have a group that we formed called Slave to Servant, and we have a couple songs out there, but he does most of the songwriting, and I'm just kind of the guitar player for that project. So I got that going on. I also have all the music that I've made for the documentary and my videos and stuff. And some of that you can get from the flash drive, the Canary Car Radio flash drive. I do need to officially release it at some point. So Patrick, stay tuned. I will keep working on it.
Maybe when you're in your 80s and
I'll have something, you know, a DVD in those days will probably be obsolete, but I'll send you a digital DNA packet of my music. So you can just inject it right into your veins.
There you go.
I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying that.
That's the only
chill.
Yeah. Well, you're getting that anyway, but that's the only way to experience Gonza's music is just mainline it right in.
Just eject it right in.
Tanya writes in, Age of Deceit and Age of Deceit 2 are fantastic. What is the story behind them that motivated you to make these films?
The first one, there's a couple different things. One, as I was coming out of that phase of learning all this stuff, I had accumulated quite a bit of information, and I had to do something with it. It was just, it's sitting on my brain, and I'm like, I have to let it out because it's driving me insane to know all this stuff and not being able to shout it off a rooftop, right? And part of it was Chris White of Nowhere to Run. He had a podcast, and he made a call out. He said, hey, you know, I was watching this ghost hunting show with my wife, and, you know, this guy starts doing a seance, and you know, if someone wants to make a video addressing this topic, please do. So I took on the challenge. I said, yeah, I'll do it. So I made a video, and it's called The Truth Behind Ghost Hunting, and that was my first YouTube video. And I made a couple videos after that, but I decided, you know what, I've accumulated enough information here about the New Age and the New World Order and how it relates to Bible prophecy, and it's clicked in my head quite a bit. So I'm going to make a documentary. And so that was really what prompted Age of Deceit. And interestingly, that was it's 2011. The summer of 2011, I went to a conference in Branson. It was the Prophecy something. It was back in the day when, I think it was Tom Horn and David Hitt who put together a prophecy conference. This was before Prophecy in the News and Gary Stearman and Bob Ulrich got involved. The following year was when they tagged in and started doing their own conferences. But in 2011, so I had made about a half hour of the film at that point, and I brought it to Branson to share with a few people just to see what they thought. And interestingly, after that that visit, I decided to scrap the video and start completely over. And so that's what I did. And then that was July. And then in September, I released Age of Deceit 1. So that was that. And I didn't think anything of it. It was just like, you know, it's a 2.5 hour video. If anyone wants to watch it, here it is. And then it picked steam, you know, grace of God. It was like, I remember it hit like 10,000 views, and I'm like, oh my gosh, 10,000, that's crazy. And then I remember 100,000, I'm like, I'm a rock star. 100,000 views, I'm good to go. It was about a year, maybe a year and a half almost, when it hit 1 million, and I was blown away. But that was part one, and then part two was really, you know, I knew sort of the writing on the wall in terms of transhumanism and technology and all that in part one. And I do mention transhumanism in part one, but I really wanted to address it. And I was really starting to see the connection with ancient practices of alchemy and sort of the philosophical overlap of you know, technology. What are we doing with technology and science? Where is it headed? What's the foundation? And again, philosophically, it's pretty much the same thing as what alchemy and all these mystery religions have been teaching, which is the idea of apotheosis and some sort of substance or integration of man with some sort of machine or some sort of creation that causes them to live longer or live forever or whatever. And so I really wanted to address that topic in part two. And it was a long journey. It was 3 years between part one and part two. So, you know, eventually that came around. And so motivation, just, you know, study information and wanting to get it out there and wanting to share some of my sort of theories on certain topics and see if it has any credence or has any teeth. And then it seems to be that people, for the most part, who share kind of the same worldviews, look at some of those videos and they say that, you know, they agree with the overall premise of what I'm saying. So